Oh my God, I'm turning into one of them.
Welcome to Super True Stories. We suffer through and report back on the worst and weirdest documentaries you can stream. I'm Dave Hunt.
And I'm Jamie Hunt. And Merry Christmas?
Merry freaking Christmas.
This week we watched Grumpy Old Men at Christmas, UK. And I definitely think this falls into worst documentary territory.
Well, it definitely falls into UK.
Yes. Everything about it is accurate.
Yes. It was made by the BBC in 2003, it looks like.
Why?
Because they need Christmas TV filler.
But why would you have something this dreadful? There was nothing about it enjoyable.
Really? Because I think I found some enjoyment.
Well, let's discuss.
All right. We should probably say up front, there's no plot to this. What it is a group of mostly British gentlemen, we'll get to that in a second, who are venting about different things related to Christmas.
They will talk about one specific aspect of Christmas, and all the grumpy old men will weigh in with their grumpy old men viewpoints, and then they'll go to another topic.
Yes. The first we hear of the narrator is...
No, it couldn't be. Not again. Not so soon. Not another long, endless round of buying presents and buying cards and wrapping up presents and writing cards and buying trees and decorating trees and receiving cards and office parties and opening presents you don't really want and seeing other people open presents you want yourself.
On and on and on.
The narrator also says that the demographic that is age 35 to 54 is the grumpiest generation in history.
Yes. And this was in 2003, so I'd be a little bit too young to be in that group.
Yes. If there was one under 55.
I think they all are under 55.
Dear God.
Right. That's one of the most striking things, because when you sent this to me, I was picturing, you know, Walter Matthau in his 70s, not a handful of British guys in their like 30s and 40s.
Well, they certainly behaved like old men.
There are a couple guys in this that I wanted to mention. One of them, I kind of started thinking of as the cigarette smoking man.
Yes.
His name is Arthur Smith. And if you picture a cross between Fred Armisen and Alan Rickman.
Perfect.
That's what this guy looks and sounds like. And one of his complaints about Christmas is that
everyone's doing the same sort of thing on the same day at the same time. And if you're not, you're feeling guilty about it. Like December the 25th, it's immovable. You know, Easter moves about a bit.
So his big beef with Christmas is that it happens every 365 days.
I guess. That was a weird thing to fixate on. But there are lots of weird things these guys fixate on during the course of this.
Yes. I feel like a therapist or a psychiatrist in the UK could be earning a large quantity of money from every one of these men. Then we're introduced to John, and he feels some kind of way about someone mentioning Christmas before December 20th.
It should be illegal. It should just be stopped. Anyone that mentions Christmas until, well, say the 20th of December.
So since it is December 15th when we uploaded this podcast, we are violating his sacred rule about what's too early for Christmas. I think we later learned that he worked for the government, so perhaps he could implement a ban on Christmas. That would go over super well, I'm sure.
He doesn't do much to dispel the stereotype that bureaucrats are unhappy, miserable people.
He does not.
Like, this is the guy that I get at the DMV every time.
Right. If you picture a stereotypical British bureaucrat, it is this man.
Absolutely. There's a couple other British guys that we meet along the way, but not before, for some reason, we meet Elliot Gould.
Why not?
An excuse to eat and to pretend to be grateful and happy, and I despise it.
How the hell did Elliot Gould get involved with this?
Yeah. Does he know the filmmaker, or was he just like stumbling upon somebody filming and said like, oh, I want in? Some of the grumpy old men, I felt like they don't like Christmas and they hate all the pomp and circumstance, but they're not like totally deathly despising it. But Elliot does seem to despise Christmas.
Maybe it's because Elliot is saying everything with an American accent.
Maybe.
That it doesn't feel like, you know, you're watching some sort of Royal Shakespearean actor in a play saying, oh, I despise it.
Perhaps so.
Perhaps.
After watching documentaries that are narrated by judgy British people, perhaps we're just more acclimated to the judgy British accent.
That could very well be. Well, speaking of that, our narrator says, what irritates our grumpy old men about Christmas? Well, where do you bloody start? And the place where they start is with caroling.
I did not realize that caroling was such a big deal in the UK. I've never interacted with carolers.
I have never in my life. And the way that they describe this is that carolers will come to your door and they'll sing just a few words before they'll tap on the door and then apparently expecting that you will open the door and give them a tip of some sort. And so most of these guys are complaining about how the carolers are basically trying to like half-ass their way through their job.
They hate Christmas so much, but they want to have the full Christmas experience from the carolers.
Yeah, this is also the place where we first meet Will. This first time when he talks, he's got his head in his hand. Like, he just can't even muster the energy to lift his head.
Yes.
He says about the carolers,
I get the fuckers right inside the house and say, sing, sing, sing on, hosannas. Sing for all you're worth, or I'm not letting you back out again.
He's basically kidnapping people every year.
Yeah, like if you're going to come to his door, you better be prepared. So the next thing that they talk about is the great angst that is generated from Christmas cards.
And they're very distressed about Christmas cards. This one has a lot of commentary from these grumpy old men.
It starts with the narrator spinning a bunch of sexism into it.
Indeed.
There is, of course, no question that the wife is in charge of sending the Christmas cards. It's definitely a girly thing. But she can't just get on with it on her own. No, no. She keeps on saying, shall we send a card to John and Yvonne? And you can't remember who they are.
This narrator is in a really happy marriage. And then we get to John, who talks about he works in the government, and Mrs. Thatcher sent him a Christmas card. And oh, isn't that lovely? And isn't it grand that he received a card from the Prime Minister?
Oh. Isn't it nice, you know, Mrs. Thatcher, she's so busy, but she thinks of us at Christmas. And then you'd lick your finger and smudge it over the signature to see if it would run.
And ever since, he has been grumpy. Margaret Thatcher didn't hand sign thousands of cards. And thus, Christmas is ruined.
It would be funny if, like, somebody who was working in the British government saw this and was like, all right, well, now you're hand signing all the cards next year, John.
That does feel like a British thing to happen, actually.
Mm-hmm. We get another shot from Will here that I enjoyed because he makes fun specifically of people who send out Christmas cards that have the word peace on them.
Yes.
Peace. Well, that's nice. That'll crack it. I can see the American Marines just laying down their arms in Baghdad.
We're trying to wish you peace, Will. And I actually feel like your friends are on to you and they are sending you the correct message.
Yes. Will also complains when they talk a bit about Christmas newsletters as kind of a subset of sending out Christmas cards. And Will says,
I'd sooner have my arse sawn off, varnished, and sold in a provincial gift shop than send a round-robin letter. And if anybody sends one to me, you can be sure it'll come swinging straight back again.
They hate the letters. They hate the updates. They hate it. And frankly, I think that's a part where the grumpy old men and I intersect. I do not like the really long, typically people don't put paragraph breaks in them. So it's just like a single spaced page of nonsense. Oh my God, I'm turning into one of them. No.
That's the danger of something like this.
No, it's contagious.
You're becoming a monster to destroy a monster.
Yes.
I liked Jeremy's policy of anytime someone gets added to the Christmas card mailing list, someone else has to be removed.
That feels like a policy you would appreciate. I also liked, going back to Margaret Thatcher's employee, he was really indignant about exclamation marks.
We've had an eventful year. We bought a car, exclamation mark. I'm thinking of writing a history of our family, but not for publication. Exclamation mark. Do without the exclamation marks, or say something that's really surprising.
I feel you, John. I'm also anti-exclamation mark.
This was 2003. I gotta think that in 2019, people aren't doing this so much anymore.
Right. Like, once Facebook came out and you started to be able to brag about your children on a daily basis, I feel like the Christmas letter has dropped off. Certainly, the volume of Christmas letters that we receive has dropped to almost none.
Yeah. There's something for the grumpy old guys to be happy about, I guess.
Christmas is saved thanks to Facebook. I feel very confident that they also do not like Facebook.
Yeah. I would be shocked if they agreed with you on Facebook saving anything. There's a couple other topics that I thought we could briefly mention just because this one surprised me. They're annoyed with advent calendars.
That was like, that's just petty, man.
I hate to keep going back to this same well, but Arthur says that he will not have his chocolates rationed out by a calendar. He will eat them the way he wants.
Bollocks to advent calendars. They will not tyrannize me.
Yes. He is like me with patterns and recipes. I get indignant at patterns and recipes. How dare you tell me how much to measure out?
The next thing, they referred to them as Christmas pantos.
Yes.
And I had no idea what the hell this was, other than it looked like, and I guess it sort of is, it's like Christmas pageants done by adults.
Yes. That doesn't happen here, does it?
I don't think so. And then it turns out that pantos is short for pantomimes.
But when I think of pantomimes, I think about miming things and not talking. So I'm just going to go with the UK's different than us.
I think it's kind of like it's a group of people putting on a Christmas follies sort of thing.
Follies. That's a really good word for what it appeared to be.
And for what this documentary is.
Yes. One of the most amusing things in this segment is one of the grumpy old men saying,
"You can't do the nativity play in a Yorkshire accent.
A bright and lo, a bright star shone in the east, and we shall follow it."
And then another man is indignant that his child is playing the donkey's ears.
Yes. Apparently the pantomimes also are racy, like there's cross-dressing, and somebody refers to it as sexually confusing content.
Yes.
So this is another one of those like very much lost in the trek across the pond.
Yes.
For me. Like I didn't even know what this was, but it's another thing for them to be unhappy about.
Yes, and they are.
Yes. The next one is a bit predictable. It's shopping.
That is totally predictable. I feel sorry for every one of the wives of these men because they just seem to have absolutely no interest in finding a gift for their wife that she would like.
No. One of them talks about getting his presents last minute at a gas station.
And so she gets either barbecue briquettes or Asian porn.
Yeah, literally. That's what he says.
Yes.
And then one of the guys talks about how it's awkward to return a French maid's outfit.
This feels like all the stereotypes of men shopping. Like, I wait till the last minute. I get her something at the gas station. I buy inappropriate lingerie she's never going to wear.
Mm-hmm.
But they also are indignant just generally about the notion of the gift giving. Like, they must have some pretty cruddy people in their lives because they talk about giving gifts and the person being like, "Oh, I don't want this. Can I have the receipt?"
One of them says at one point that the receipt is the most important thing you can buy.
Yes. Although, look, if you're getting me barbecue briquettes, you better give me the gift receipt.
Mm-hmm. They talk about Christmas lights, particularly specifically at shops.
Yes.
And the narrator talks about how when we were kids, the mere fact that a bulb could flash on and off at all was impressive. But these days, to get kids' attention, you have to have an airhead celebrity turn the lights on. So they're talking about, I guess, like the lighting ceremonies that happen. And one of them says,
"Enrico Iglesias. Jesus Christ. That's the best we can do. The lights in this country are crap.
Yes. So he hates Christmas and Enrico Iglesias.
Well, I mean, I get one of the two.
I wonder who he would find acceptable.
I feel like Winston Churchill is the only answer for him.
His reanimated corpse.
Yes. It probably is no surprise that they don't like Santa Claus.
No. Although John, of Margaret Thatcher's employ, at one point played Santa Claus, and he seems kind of proud of it. So he's sort of the only man who doesn't just full out hate Santa.
We also get Will saying people were excited about Santa Claus in the 60s because pedophilia didn't exist then.
Right. I wonder if Santas in the UK have not achieved the Santa levels we have here. Because we have like men who make their entire living on being Santa for 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, like they make bank.
I wonder if that's still true, though, because it seemed like when it first started happening, it was just a few malls had the really exceptional Santas.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you're going to get more people attracted to get their picture taken with them. But if all the malls have these high-end Santas, did that bring down the market?
I guess I don't know how much variation in quality there is these days.
Yeah. Maybe we need to go on a Santa hunt.
Well, there we go. Well, they hate Christmas music.
Of course.
There's a specific song that they mention called Mistletoe and Wine, sung by Cliff Richards.
Yes.
So I went on to Spotify and looked up this song.
Let me pull it up on my phone here.
It's not Christmas Shoes level bad.
Nothing is.
But it's not far above that. You need to skip a bit because it does that for a while.
Okay.
Mistletoe and wine.
Oh.
Children singing Christian rhyme.
Oh. Once again, I find myself siding with the grumpy old men.
I think a place where you're not going to side with them is on people putting Christmas lights up at their house.
Absolutely not. They are wrong.
Because one of them says, look, we're good people. We've got electricity.
I did laugh out loud at that part, though. But yes, I have been known, as have you, to put a large quantity of lights up at Christmas time. So I guess my Christmas spirit must still be intact in some small way.
Right. You've kept it alive inside your heart.
Exactly. And what's wrong with looking a little bit like Vegas for a 4-week period of time?
Yeah, that's what one of them compares it to.
Right.
They talked a bit about food. People are buying too much food. People are eating too much food. There's one specific thing that I wanted to talk to you about, though, because one of them says that posh people are out eating geese and swans, but the Poles at Christmas eat fish.
Yes.
Now, Jamie, you're of Polish descent.
I am.
Have you ever had fish for Christmas?
I've had fish for Christmas on both sides. On the Swedish side of my family, we've had the delightful treat of lutefisk. And on my grandma's side of the family, I believe when I was young, we still had fish as part of our Christmas traditions.
Okay.
It is well known in the Polish community that fish and Christmas go together. I did not appreciate the derogatory way that he talked about the Poles.
Must be very exciting to be Polish and get a piece of fish for your Christmas.
You just wish you were Polish.
One of my favorite moments of this documentary occurs. Arthur says, this is my one contribution to Christmas. I'm going to sing Jingle Bells backward. And it sounds like he's singing gibberish.
Here's Neposo, now one of the root city and after war.
And they play what he just sang backwards. This is the lost Twin Peaks Christmas album that nobody wants to ever listen to.
Except for Axel.
Well, it will be nightmare fuel for whoever goes down this path.
I was both impressed and horrified.
The narrator asks, why are British men so grumpy about all of this? And then we hear from Elliot Gould.
Who is, again, not British.
Right. Who just says that it's all a nightmare because it's all superficial and artificial and bah humbug.
And he hates joy specifically.
Yes.
Christmas generally, joy specifically.
Mm-hmm. They hate office Christmas parties.
Yep.
They hate the night before Christmas scramble to get ready.
Yep.
And there was a fun moment here where one of them talks about how as a kid, he was told by another child, I think, that Father Christmas was his dad. And he thought that meant that his dad was literally Santa Claus for everyone.
Yes. That was really cute. And it is a much better reason for Christmas to be ruined than Margaret Thatcher didn't personally sign your Christmas card. Like when you realize, oh, it's my dad at my house only. So there's no magic whatsoever.
Do you think you're like the next year, you're like, well, Dad, I know you got a lot of places to get to tonight. Wink, wink.
Can you bring back some of those cookies?
And the mom is like, what the hell is that about?
How old were you when you stopped believing in Santa?
It didn't happen, thankfully, at a Christmas. I never had that. I think that sometime between Christmases, it had occurred to me or I had realized that I don't have that like nightmare moment or traumatizing moment as a kid. Do you have one of those?
I don't have a traumatizing moment, but I believed in Santa all the way up through the entire elementary school years because, as I now know, my parents used to put aside money every single week to be able to give us really magical Christmases. But there were years where we did not have a lot of money, but we were still getting these insanely magical Christmases. And I just was like, well, there's no other explanation. It must be Santa Claus. Apparently, at that age, I did not have a concept of saving or borrowing money. I just thought, I only have one pair of shoes, but here's the spread of gifts underneath the tree. Santa's real.
Yeah.
But then my parents' rule, once I hit an age where I think they were afraid I would tell my sisters, they started to say things like, Santa only brings gifts to people who say they believe in Santa, which is genius. I never told my sisters.
Well, that seems like a pretty great move to deal with the oldest children.
Yes.
Ruining it for the youngest ones.
As I'm sitting here talking about it, I'm realizing that my younger sisters probably stopped believing in Santa before I did.
That would be funny.
Well, and I think like all my friends were oldest children. So none of us had anybody sort of ruining the magic for us. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a really cool story that your parents did that for you.
Yeah.
Maybe if these guys had had something like that happen in their lives, they wouldn't be so miserable.
Right.
We learn of another thing that I have never heard of before. I wanted to run past you. Apparently, one of the things that parents do in Britain is they make snowy footprints on the floor. I assume they're like putting their foot down and then sprinkling some flour around their feet or something to like make it look like there are snow prints in the house.
I assume that's what it is. My guess is it's sort of the British equivalent to Elf on the Shelf, where it's sort of like evidence that Santa's been here. But yeah, we don't do that over here.
The Elf on the Shelf has that whole extra layer of voyeurism and surveillance.
Elf on the Shelf is creepy. Yeah, sure, it's amusing when people do all those like funny scenes with the Elf on the Shelf, but the concept of it is just preparing your children for constant surveillance. And then they go out and buy an Amazon Echo Dot or something and are surveilled. Oh my God, I am a grumpy old man.
They complain about the rubbish on television, how there's nothing good on to distract you. Apparently, the Queen gives a speech, and one of them talks about how whenever the Queen talks, he feels like he must stand.
Yes. But we don't really get to hear John's thoughts on this.
You would think that he would have very strong thoughts on the Queen.
Yes, but perhaps because he works for the government, he is not allowed to express them.
Perhaps. They complain that people have the nerve to ask them if they had a good Christmas when it's all over.
Right. How dare you?
And Arthur says that the only good thing about hating it so much is that once Christmas is over, my spirit recovers.
Yes. He's the one person who enjoys the part of winter that comes after Christmas.
It would be interesting to see Arthur happy and excited about something.
Anything.
Anything. The narrator says,
so why is it all inevitably so disappointing? Why are we always left with that bloated sense of anticlimax, which wouldn't be so bad if there'd been a climax to be anti? Perhaps it's because of all the unutterable crapulence that goes with it.
And then we get a final shot from Elliot talking about how he could take a Christmas in Great Britain, but it would have to snow and everyone would have to be dressed like it was the turn of the century.
Yes.
Elliot, you're not part of this. Just cut out Elliot.
Right. Why is he there? He doesn't actually get piped in that often.
No.
And he's a thief of joy.
And then it ends very oddly with all of them kind of on their own, but then cut together, singing a very slow, mopey version of White Christmas.
Yes. Like the saddest White Christmas ever.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Well, Jamie, I think we've squeezed all we're going to get out of this documentary. What did you learn?
What do we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't fucking know either.
I learned a few things, Dave. The first is that Brussels sprouts are a much bigger thing in the UK than they are here.
Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing either.
That was sort of their primary Christmas dish, and that it would be served at all their Christmas parties and their pre-Christmas parties and their post-Christmas parties. One guy in the documentary actually said he loved the Brussels sprouts and they were the best part of Christmas, but everyone else, ugh.
Talk about being a contrarian.
Right? The other thing that I learned was what I learned in the recording of this documentary, which is that I agree with them on an alarming number of things. I've always thought of myself as like a super Christmassy person, but there were a couple of things I kind of agree with them on. And I also kind of, I'm going to throw in a third thing here. There's some traditions in the UK that I do not think are worth carrying over to America. Like when we dumped the tea into the Boston Harbor, we may have also dumped these things in, and that is for the better. So that's what I learned. What did you learn, Dave?
I simply wrote down, God bless America, because Christmas in England does sound a little bit rubbish.
It does.
Sometimes you hear about how another culture does something or celebrates something, and it's like, oh, that sounds really cool. Like, I'd go to one of those festivities if there was one that I could go to. Nothing in this made me think, I would really like to experience firsthand a British Christmas.
I agree. And actually, I have celebrated Christmas in a different culture. I spent a Christmas in Norway. And it was very different from how we celebrate Christmas in America. There was the gelatinous fish goo spread on things. That was a big part of it. But it was like everybody got one sort of lame present from everyone else, and everybody got a pair of socks.
Oh.
I remember one of them got a teal tracksuit.
Yikes.
And I was thinking to myself, because this was 1995, Norway's a little behind.
It was like when you'd go to northern Minnesota in like the 2000s and there'd be people up there still with the mall banger bangs.
In the 2000s, do you mean 2019? Because no comment.
Well, if you love a decade, why ever leave it?
Right.
All right. Well, Jamie, I think we've made it through. I have to say that I feel like my holiday spirit is still pretty much intact despite their grumpiness.
Yes, yes. That being said, watching this was just torture. Like just listening to people complain for 55 minutes.
I have a little bit of a confession.
Okay.
This is one of the few times where we watched something on YouTube. And the thing that I love about YouTube that I wish other video streaming channels would do is allow you to adjust the playback speed. When they just started yammering about things I didn't care about, let's boost that speed up to like 1.5 times.
Why would you not tell me about this?
I assumed that you knew.
Yeah, that's where you insert the crickets. Because I
really thought you knew that.
I'm grumpy today, as you may or may not have noticed. And I think it is because of this terrible, horrible documentary.
I enjoyed Will and Arthur too much to get mad at the documentary overall.
Ugh.
The whole Jingle Bells backwards thing, I was laughing out loud.
Oh, bless. This was terrible. So I'm interested, listeners, in your thoughts on Christmas. You can share your thoughts on the things you love and hate. And if you're from a different culture, because I know we have some worldwide listeners, tell us about your Christmas traditions and things you think we might find weird and things you think we do that are weird. You can find us on Twitter at Super True Story and on Facebook at Super True Stories.
And we need to give a shout out to Tomb Dragomir, who has supplied our theme music. It's Mexicana Massacre off of his album Instrumental Psycho Synth. And a special shout out and happy holidays to our friends at 6 Foot Plus and The Projection Booth. Two great podcasts you should always be considering checking out. And happy holidays, everybody.
Ho, 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 ho. Happy holidays.
Cheer up, Jamie. We'll let you put some more lights on the house.
All right.
All right. Happy holidays. We'll talk to you next time.
See ya.
Nice to see that, then I want to soften.